Hello, you're listening to the Unknown
Show.
Hello, you're listening to the Unknown Show. My name is Bud Smith. I'm your host. I'm broadcasting live from Washington Heights, New York City, on the intersection of 173rd Street and Apocalypse Avenue. My neighbors are mostly from the Dominican Republic, and they cook the best food you can imagine. I can smell it coming through the walls, the ceiling, and the floor. Tonight for dinner, I'll have to go knock on some doors when all this is over. Boring white people food is not going to cut it for me tonight. So, this show is going to pretty much be interviews, shooting shit with whoever's around, and is in the mood for talking about projects they're doing, things they're interested in, things that will interest me, and hopefully you. Well, today was a warm day, and I'm looking forward to interview some people here. That's what this show is going to be about. I'll hammer on and on, and we'll get to the bottom of who's doing something cool or not cool. You decide. So today we're going to have a conversation with a couple really rad humans. We've got Erin McParland. She's going to come on the show and tell us about living in New York City, working in the advertising business, and perhaps most importantly, doing art direction for the beautiful Uno Kudo Art Meets Lit anthology, which just released its second volume a month ago. It's available on Amazon now. And if you see me anywhere roaming the streets, chances are I probably have a copy or two stuffed in my car or my back pocket or my trunk. It's a really cool book. I do a little editing for it, but really my heart's in it because of what it does and how it's drawing people together to pretty much just get their art out there, get their writing out there, and always have an excuse to get together and party. Now, the whole Lakuta stuff, I'm not just saying that because Erin McParland paid me $25 to say it, but maybe. Also on the show, we're going to shoot the shit with Chuck Howe, who's one of those guys that does everything. He's a musician, he's a writer, he's an ordained minister, a bunch of other stuff I'm not even supposed to allude to. He'll come on and talk about a book of short stories that he's putting out this year called If I Had Wings, These Windmills Would Be Dead. Chuck's he's a real cool dude, and hopefully we'll get into just what it takes to put together your own collection of stories, doing your own editing, doing your own design work, all that stuff. If you want to make a book, hopefully, you know, by the time our conversation is over here, you'll have a few leads for your own search for that kind of stuff. Then later on, we're gonna have Heather Lost Ketchup Thorn. She's going to come on and give us a reading, which I am super psyched about because she's honestly one of my favorite writers around. And I'm hoping we can pry a shitload of poems out of her. Afterwards, the lines will be open for callers, or if you have something urgent you must discuss, you can call and we'll try to get it out here on the air so we can hash it out, okay? The call-in number is 805-856-2808. If you want to read a poem or tell me a story or anecdote, fantastic. If you're calling up to give me some kind of cryptic ultimatum, even better. So, real quick, before we get into it with Erin McParland, I want to thank a few people here. I want to give a shout-out to Michelle McPanel and Frankie Metropolis for what they do here with Blog Talk Radio. I've been real into Frankie's shows he does, Michelle's shows that she puts on. And I just want to say, if you're tuning in for the first time to this show, be aware that this show is part of a network of other fine shows that run through the week here on Blog Talk. There's an open mic night show called Nothing to Lose, which is running on Monday nights right now, I believe. And that's just, you know, call in, read what you want. It's like, just like the open mic nights at your pub, but, you know, crazier, hopefully, you know, say whatever you want. And then there's the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, which Frankie does, which plays some real dope music. And he loves when people call in to shoot the shit with him too about the galaxy and all that stuff. Whatever you're interested in writing wise, and beyond. Then there's Tiny Amp Records versus Illyria Underground, which also plays really, really sick music. The other night I listened in, got introduced to a few great bands I'd never heard of. Mostly from Albuquerque area, Colorado area. Real cool. And that's run by William Stewart Bonney. And, of course, I can't forget to mention Brian Fugit and Mike Grzynski's Zygote Radio. You laugh your ass off. Real funny stuff. So, yeah, check all that out. And that being said, there's one more thing I'd like to plug here, and then I'm going to – I am finally going to pull Aaron on the show. what I want to talk about real quick is I'm putting together an anthology called Wasn't That Special, which is about how people lost their virginity. You know, how it happened to you, where it happened to you, just the whole, you know, no pun intended, the in and outs of it. So you can check that out if you're interested. If that sounds like anything that you'd like to check out, I'd love it if you send something in. The deadline is rapidly approaching for this anthology, though. But if you'd like to, if you feel the great need to do so, you can send the submission to wasn'tthatspecial@gmail.com. It's one word, no apostrophes or anything. And the deadline for that is going to be the 31st of this month. But I'll be in L.A. anyway, and I won't even notice. So wake me up from my drunken coma by the 5th of February. How does that sound? And that'd be great, you know. I'll peek in that inbox, and there will be all about how you got banged on the living room floor. All right. Well, I'd like to get the ball rolling here and drag Erin McParl onto the air so that she can entertain the hell out of us with her tales of whimsy and intrigue. Let me see if I can figure out how to get this to work. Erin, are you there?
Hi.
Oh, there she is.
Can you hear me?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, Erin, you're live on the internet.
You want me to entertain after you were so entertaining about your anthology?
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
I'll do my best.
Everybody, I hope has a story about getting banged multiple times. The first time is the funny.
I'm not going to be getting into that, though, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, you got time. Send something in. Submissions are getting read blind to avoid nepotism. Got a few helpers who are going to be deleting the names from the submission files. You can have your story printed however you want. If you're going to send something in, you can use a pen name or you can use your real name. But while the submissions are getting looked through and judged, I'm going to be reading them blind because that's the way I like to do it. That's the way you
look
good, right?
Yeah.
So, Erin, I'm glad you came on. And I got a bunch of questions for you. I hope I don't bore you to tears. So today was real warm in New York City today. I was out there working outside without a hooded sweatshirt on. Did you ride your bike to work today?
You know, I wish I did, but I ended up instead not knowing it was going to be warm. I thought it was going to be some new weather that we've been having, and I wore my big down coat. And instead, just got myself scrunched into the subway. So I miss being on the bike, though. I've been a wimp this year. I haven't been biking through the winter like badass I used to be. It's just not happening. So,
yeah,
not today.
Yeah, not
sorry.
Today. No, it's okay. I didn't ride my bike either. I drove my car into work. So,
yeah, that's a bit of a...
So first off, I wanted to talk to you about the Uno Kudo project and what's going on with Uno Kudo. It's an art meets literary magazine where the art is paired with the writing. Will you tell me a little bit more about it? How would you explain the project to someone who has no bearings about it at all. Can you set it up for a stranger? What is Uno Cuda project?
See, I think of it more as the Uno Cuda as more the group of people that act like a artist salon. It's people getting together, helping each other, and it's all through the internet. So it doesn't matter how far you are from each other, you can still be there. And it's more about that. It's about that, how it's powered. And there's a book that comes out once a year from that. But that's made secondary, you know? And
hey, Aaron, let me stop you right there for a second.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from right now?
I'm calling from home on my cell. Is it a bad reception?
It was a little bit bad, but it got really good there for a second. Are you walking around?
No, I'll stay still.
Yeah,
is
stay
that
right
better?
There.
Is that good?
Yes,
all right.
I can hear you perfectly. I don't know if that shit we said before was all jumbled up, but most of our listeners are probably all fucked up on different kinds of prescription meds and stuff, so they won't even notice. So we were talking about Uno Cuda, and you mentioned that it's a writer salon that mostly operates online, and it's people coming together from an online thing to make a physical print book, right?
Basically, yeah. To me, it's more than just the book because the people are all helping each other so much and supporting each other and collaborating. And we're talking about also making a little bit more of it, this next volume, and having perhaps more contests and more things, more website things that are being posted during the year. So it's, that would be a really nice next step.
Yeah. So contest-wise, I know me and you have talked about this over beers or whatever, and you've mentioned that contest-wise, it would be like this ties into my next question actually about gathering the art. Okay, so I know you were saying that the project is going to be for the contest is going to be you'll find the art, and then a writer will see the image online. And then they're challenged to write to the image. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Hopefully they see something in it that totally inspires them and they just, want to. But the thing is also for people to keep in mind is it should never be totally literal. I mean, it can be. That's fine, too. But whatever you write about, it's more that you're inspired by the art in front of you than you're writing to it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a literal thing, right?
It just moves you emotionally.
The feeling of it, right?
Yeah. That's one of the things, we've been doing themes, and we want to get away from themes, and part of the reason I want to get away from themes personally is because I don't want people to feel like they have to write to a theme, write to something. I want people to just be inspired and to have something that just makes them want to write, that makes them want to create something. So if they see something cool and it inspires them, then that's more what it's about than fitting it into like a little peg into a hole.
Yeah. You're not trying to fill up space. Like you're not looking for X amount of submissions or whatever the fuck it is. You're just interested in it's like a fun game, like being in a band, whatever. Screwing around. This is jamming if you're into playing music. For writers, you're kind of
let big publishing houses worry about how many pages and all that kind of crap.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
we need to have some fun.
So now you're doing the art direction for Uno Cuda. Basically, what does that involve? What do you go through with doing the gathering the art for the project?
Well, for the last one, I guess I'll be doing some of the same because there's still going to be like an open submission process. I've just been pretty much gathering art and artists from all over the internet and just following them into different areas. Like I have my Pinterest. I have my my Flickr account, my DeviantArt. There's like I have like files in all these places that I can refer back to. So it's like I have files, and then if something makes sense, I'll contact those artists.
And when you're interested, when you're interested in something that they're doing, you send out an invite. That's pretty cool. It's a cool way of doing it. The I like what you mentioned though too, that obviously the submissions are open for anybody anywhere. Send what you want, writing, art especially.
Yeah, send art too. I'm totally open to like all kinds of art as much as possible.
That's just cool. So the email address for that, anybody who's interested, if you want to send any kind of submission, writing, art-wise, send to unokudo @gmail.com. Or you can check out the Unokudo website, which is www.unokudo.wordpress.com right now. And Aaron, so I want to ask you a couple more questions about about this junk. So what is right now the Unokudo Volume 2 is raising money for charity. I know the first one raised money for charity also. What's the charity for this for the second volume?
For the second volume, and probably we'll go into the third volume with this, we were raising money for Penn International. And what's really wonderful about Penn is I feel like in a way, in a much bigger way than what we do, it's we mirror them a little bit as their tiny little part. Because what Penn is doing is they're a group of artists, writers that are helping and supporting other writers. But the main thing they do is they help with freedom of expression and freedom of speech. They help imprisoned writers to get them out of prison, people who there's just things are just not, you know, like we would think we're kind of spoiled here. We think we can just express ourselves and nothing will happen. But a lot of people are, you know, put into prisons and treated really horribly just for speaking their mind. So
that sounds like a worthy cause. And also, there's going to be a reading. There's going to be a reading in L.A. this weekend.
Yeah.
Kudo,
reading
in an art gallery. What's going to happen there? Are you going to have reading, music?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's kind of exciting. It's going to be in a really great space. It's this huge loft art gallery that's two stories high, open thing. And there's going to be art projected on the walls, which is going to look awesome. There's going to be art on the walls, which is just kick-ass art. And there's going to be a whole new set of readers in New York, all new people that I haven't met, and I'm really excited to see and hear. And there's going to be music and entertainment, and it's going to be quite the show. And it's all being put together by one of the writers, Raven Kane, who she's like an expert at putting together these kind of like theatrical. She has a theater background, and she does this kind of production stuff all the time. She works with her husband, her husband does these big productions he works with bands like Kiss and Rush, and he does their orchestration, like when they do strings and things like that. They have the classical sections in these big bands that, you know, rock bands. And she comes in there, and she like, when Kiss was playing, she had all these people in their ball gowns and their tuxes, and she's like, you need to put on Kiss makeup, you know? She has all these people, they're playing, like, their violins, and they're in their ball gown, and they have Kiss makeup. So, I mean, this is like, she's putting it together. So I feel pretty strongly that it's going to definitely have some production to it. You know, on our much smaller scale, I mean, we're not Kiss, you know. We're with Kiss's money. We're doing it all for free, basically. Oh, and we got donations. Yeah. Erin Parker kicks ass, like you wouldn't believe. She got us free wine, free Mike's Hard Lemonade, and popcorn. Pretty cool. So we get all this great stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, well, you know, usually I make it a point, you know, not to get drunk in public, but I think I'll make an exception, right?
I've seen otherwise.
Yeah. So, I want to I wanted to get off that topic before people start, you know, strangling me because I won't shut the fuck up about Uno Kudo ever. You know, it's like I just changed the license plates to my car. I got personalized Uno Kudo license plates now.
you got Uno Kudo.
And I park on the street in New York City, so pretty soon they'll probably be gone. Someone will take them. But I wanted to talk to you about, I've been over your place a couple times. You live down in Williamsburg, been down there, and the hipsters are like, it's like you got to wade through a sea of room. You got to fight your way through. If you have little parties at your place, they're always the best. Thanks for throwing all them. And I want to talk to you about your paintings. If you guys go to Aaron's house, if you come to New York City, go to Aaron's house and drink all the wine and eat all her cheese and stuff. And she's got these paintings that take up an entire wall in her living room. They're, like, massive. And every time you go, you know, there's a new one. And the other ones are gone. because I guess they sell, like, hotcakes, apparently. I want to ask you, what's your deal with these paintings? Can you describe what you do for the listeners out there? Tell them what your paintings look like, first of all, and then if you don't mind, can you get into how you do them?
Oh, yeah, I could try. I'm really bad at describing these things, but
yeah.
They're abstract. They're large, abstract paintings. I do a lot of scripting. I work with things like trowels and squeegees, and I work with the different mediums, too. I used to work with oils, and I used a lot of medium, so it was like a lot of paint thinners, which basically made me really lightheaded, and I had to go for long walks, and I think I made my cat half brain dead.
it was
bad. So I had to change that, and I started working with acrylics. And at first, it was a lot of learning curve from that, but I learned how to manipulate the paint and make it as fluid or as hard as I want it to do. So a lot of what I do is working with the paint and manipulating it and letting it basically flow, and I just follow it. It takes me to where I want it to go. And I play a lot with different kinds of surface areas, like mattes against glossies and metallics, and this thing called interference paint that changes as you walk across it. It can change color, so that it all depends upon how it splits. Yeah, so that kind of describes it, I guess.
That's pretty badass. I don't do very much painting around here. Every once in a while, I do like a finger painting. That's like all I'm capable of. But my girl does some too. She's quite a painter herself. Hey, Aaron, listen, I got a few other callers. One of them has been holding for like 20 minutes. I want to say hi to them and see what's going on, and then I'm gonna pull Chuck Howe up to shoot some shit too. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it, and it was really fun talking to you.
Awesome. It was good talking to you, bud.
Back on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Oh, shit, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, man, sorry, dude. Is this Frankie?
Hey, what's up, man? I was just enjoying the program. That was a great interview. I was just thinking on Aaron there. I loved her explanation of her artwork. That was pretty dope.
Were you able to hear her clearly? I was breaking up.
Yeah,
over
no,
the
it sounded good, man. I've been enjoying
cool.
it. It's been a good show, yeah.
That's great, Aaron.
Yeah.
I still got you on. So if you want to pipe in at all during any of this, you know, you can.
You can still hear me.
I didn't dump you. You know, I didn't like kick you to the curb or anything. You're still floating in the ether.
Cool.
Right. You know.
Hi, Frankie.
Yeah, we just do that on my show. That's what we do. We do that on my show.
Yeah.
That's where we. Yeah, we just boot everybody out.
That's fun. So Frankie, listen, I got Chuck on hold too. I'm gonna pull him on, and I'm gonna get into it with him with all his stuff. All right.
Please do, man. I'm kicked back. I'm just enjoying the show.
Right on. Hey, Chuck, you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. Sounds great so far.
Yeah, these people are cooperating, you know. They realize if they don't cooperate that, you know, bad shit will happen to them. So they're like playing along and everything.
Oh yeah. Well, it's also all part of the whole Uno Kudo Salon thing of supporting each other. So you're doing your radio show. We got to support you.
Yeah, you have to. Or like I said, you know, like bad shit will happen to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanted to get into it with you about your all the different writing stuff you've been doing in the last year. I just see more and more output from you, floating around, stuff published, stuff popping up, and I wanted to just kind of like touch on what you have going on, because I know a lot of people, they want to write, they want to get more into their output, they want to get more into what they can do with it. A lot of people I talk to just feel like they're not as prolific as they can be, or they want to be more prolific. And I think maybe you'll be a perfect example of just, you know, somebody who just kind of does it, you know. So maybe we can get into talking that about it a little bit. Maybe you'll have some insights into that stuff, just your process.
Well, for me, I mean, I've always enjoyed reading and you know, I would kind of write, nothing that I felt very, very good about. But it basically all started up years ago with MySpace and all the blogging that started popping up. I kind of went there and wrote something and people were actually interested in it, you know, and started reading the things that I was writing. And I thought, wow, this is pretty neat. You know, and the more you do, the easier it becomes, you know, it really is. And, of course, there are times, especially, you know, I do a whole bunch of other things where for a period of time I won't write. But then, you know, as I get started again, maybe the first thing isn't that good, but it got me started again, you know, and I can, you know, get back into it. Yeah. And then, you know, for the last year or so, it all started basically just as status updates on Facebook where they got rid of the word limit. So I thought, and one day I get home from work in the middle of the night and just started writing something, you know, kind of a flight of fancy about my childhood or something like that. And before you know it, everybody's saying, oh, I can't wait to read your morning stories. And I kind of realized, you know, these things are kind of good. Maybe I should save them and start collecting them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I wanted to point out with just I think sometimes people take their writing a little too seriously. Not that, obviously, I don't think you do that. I don't think you take yours too seriously. I think you handle it the best way that you could. It's just something you do.
Well, sometimes I think I don't take it seriously enough.
But I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, when you were doing your daily stories on Facebook, it's just so cool to just, you know, that's what keeps me going back to something like Facebook, you know? I mean, it's a whole bunch of bullshit. It's people sharing silly pictures of mass shared silly pictures of kittens doing stuff, even though I love that. But you know, when you go on and I see somebody like Frank Reardon putting his poems up there, just stick them up there, you know, in a status update, you know, and your stories, daily stories, just in a status, that's awesome. You didn't even take the time to make it a fucking note, and you're going to tag a million people. You just put it up and have what you will with it, and it's not even 100% edited because you're never going to fix all that shit anyway, right?
Well, I'm trying. The way that I did it, I would post it just as I wrote it and then go back later and try and edit it, you know, especially now that I'm trying to put it together as a book.
So did you find though that just putting stuff out there helped you figure out how you wanted to handle rewrites later?
How to handle what?
Did it help you figure out how you wanted your rewrites to wind up later, or was it just like when you put up something? It's,
And one of the great things about, you know, doing it on Facebook is I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook that were in the stories. And yeah. I would kind of write something, and the person would get in touch with me and be like, oh, but do you remember this time? And it's like, wow, there's
yeah.
a whole other story. You know?
Yeah, there's
Thank
a whole
you.
Other story. There's a whole other one.
Yeah. And that happens so, again and again. And people
yeah.
who I don't even know are reading them will all of a sudden, like, send me a note and say, like, hey, I really love this one. I remembered it exactly the way you wrote it. And the way
yeah.
that I'm thinking of it is I am actually calling it, like, fictional nonfiction because
yeah.
it's how I remember it. That's not exact, you know. That's never
yeah.
going to be the way
yeah.
that it probably actually happened. That's how I remember
uh-huh.
it. So that's how it's going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So you've been corralling these stories and other things together, and you're working on a book, right?
Yeah, I'm putting all these, they're mostly autobiographical pieces from all different stages and trying to, you know, every time I think I'm getting close to the end, I just realize, you know, this one just isn't strong enough, this one needs to get reworked, you know. But yeah, it's coming along. I didn't expect to be this far by now, so.
Yeah, it's funny how it sneaks up, you know, especially when you start, like, do you print things out and you have them, you have physical things to look at, or you pretty much just deal with computer files?
I've been mostly doing it with computer files, and at some point I will print it all out as part of the editing process. But it's just been interesting because when I started doing these, I wasn't planning necessarily on putting them together as a book, so... You know, then going through and realizing, like, oh, you know, I talk about this one guy in a few different stories,
yeah.
but called him a different name in each one. Let me just make him one guy now, you know.
Yeah.
There are little things like that. But it was neat because I had already written a bunch of these stories, saved them each as individual files. And then when I put them together, I realized, like, wow, I do actually have the framework for something here.
Yeah, so
and,
something that pulls together on more of a theme, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't necessarily go into any of the stories with a central theme in mind, but because they're all, you know, or at least mostly autobiographical, they all have a similar theme and kind of, you know, a few different themes running through it, but they tie together because it's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just nice.
That's pretty cool.
You know,
I've noticed, you know, screwing around with, like, doing a novel or a bunch of stories, like, something at the end, like, it always feels just like, you know, connecting the dots, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
All,
yeah.
all of a sudden, everything's there, and you can just go and you can connect all these little dots to make it all more cohesive.
Yeah.
What's the title of your book right now? What are you calling it?
You're kind of breaking up a little. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. What's the title of your book again?
It's going to be If I Had Wings, These Windmills Would Be Dead.
Yes, I thought that's what it was. I think I said that earlier in the show, but it's one of my main hobbies to fuck everything up, and I figured that was another instance of that.
So, that's okay. No, everybody always, they know it's something like that, but, you know, as long as the words
yeah.
wings, windmill, dead, as long as you have
yeah,
all
yeah.
them in there, it'll come up
yeah.
in a search engine when it's out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, can I bug you to read something from your collection? Do you have anything you want to share, or...
I've got a nice little short one that's actually, at this point, it's the first story of the book.
Cool.
That I have kind of revved up and ready to go here. All right, this one is called The Swing. And I still remember the day as if it were yesterday, instead of the summer of 1978. I was playing on the tire swing in the front yard. My brother was off playing with his friends. My father was cutting 2x4s in the backyard. It was the last time those poor pieces of wood would see the light of day.
soon to be covered up with sheetrock. My mother was in the house doing whatever mothers do in the summer when the kids are outside playing. I was pumping my legs hard, going higher and higher in the swing. Still, the pale blue sky was out of my reach. I had been trying all summer, but I hadn't been able to touch the sky even once yet. This time I would do it. Each time up the swing went higher. Finally, I decided to jump as the swing was at its highest point. Surely I could touch the sky this time. So I jumped. I flew straight up. The common pull of gravity was gone, completely gone. I had to twist myself around to dodge the power lines and the branches of the tree. But I quickly shot past them. I could see the sky getting closer and closer, but I was slowing down. I looked down and could see my house and neighborhood far below me. I was almost there. This time I would do it. This time I would touch the sky. Just as I felt myself losing all momentum, about to fall back to the ground, the very tip of my finger touched it. It was like the softest velvet I had ever felt. The sky felt warm and almost plush, like a stuffed animal. The sky was right there on my fingertip for just a brief moment, but the moment seemed to last an hour. And then I started falling back to earth. Slowly at first, but I picked up speed as I fell. The ground was coming up quick. My town turned into my neighborhood. My neighborhood turned into my street. My street turned into my yard. And then, slam, my feet hit the ground. I felt the shock wave in my ankles and just stood there, stunned for a second. I had finally done it. I had finally touched the sky. I went running to the backyard to tell my father. Surely this was news that would brighten his day.
Whoa.
That's
hey, thanks for reading that. That was
so
good. That was awesome. I think I can't wait to read the whole thing. I can't wait till it's all...
Yeah,
and
now you see why I call it fictional fictional nonfiction. You know, that is something I can clearly remember that happening, you know.
That's awesome. I remember being a little kid and I had a nightmare. I had a nightmare one night, but it was such a real nightmare that I thought it was real until probably about 5 years ago. I'm 31 now. Probably until I was 26 years old, I thought this nightmare really happened. We lived in this yellow house, and there was a witch that showed up, burst through the door on a broomstick, and flew around inside the house, and got in a little fist fight with my dad, and he took the broomstick and hit her with it until she was all bloody, and then she took her out of the house, and she flew away, and so being a little kid can definitely... Your memories
will
definitely be a little warped from reality.
I have
but
met
that,
your father. I've met your father, and I could see him kicking a witch's butt. So,
I
could see why you thought that was real.
Yeah, I know. he's a pretty tough dude. He's a volunteer firefighter down there, and did all the that big storm the recent hurricane, Super Sandy thing. He was real cool. He's a hero of mine. He went and helped a lot of people in the flood, going out in the boats and helping people over there in Seaside. And so he volunteers a lot of his time with that. So he's a big hero of mine for sure.
Yeah. I could tell from just hearing
about your own life.
What's that,
Chuck? Do you think it's easier to write about your own life as opposed to coming up with street fiction?
Now that I've been...
All of a new set of problems.
You know what? I thought it would present more problems, but I found even, like, one piece that I wrote that showed one of my friends in a less than stellar light, he loved it, you know? It just, I think, the fact that I was writing about that time and, you know, and I didn't say anything that wasn't, you know, true and bad about him, but, you know, just what happened. And, he, you know, so he said, yeah, that's what happened. That was, you know, and I was a little afraid of that. But, you know, as I've been doing it more, it's become easier and easier. I think 5 years ago, it would have been very tough for me to write about my life.
Yeah.
It would have to be fictionalized, you know, in a major way.
But
I think just the sharing with other people and getting feedback, you know, that gives you the confidence, the, you know, you realize it's okay to even say bad things about myself. You know, people understand they think bad things about themselves too. You know, it really is okay to let this stuff out.
Yeah. So that's basically what you'd say to somebody who wants to write more or who basically is just sitting there wishing they could do it. You could just say, what would you say to them? You say, just what do you, it's your life.
Yeah. And you don't necessarily have to share everything. You know, on Facebook, I had been sharing a lot of the stories, a lot of them, which are probably going to be in the book, which I don't necessarily want to share with everyone there. But I figure, if you're buying the book, you're going to want the nitty gritty. So
yeah, right.
There you go. I'll include it. But, what I've been trying to do is if I am writing about someone in particular, I send it to them, you know, as a private message or something like that. And just kind of, I put it with the, you know, anything about that you can remember that might be good, Dad, you know, or something. And everybody has just been very receptive to it, you know. And I think people like reading about themselves.
People love, they love reading about themselves, and you can probably get anybody to do an interview if you ever wanted to. You could probably write Obama a fucking a message and say, "Hell, I want to interview you." Well, he might be the only person that turned you down. Everybody else would do it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I tried that.
People love to read and write about themselves. So, Chuck, listen, thank you so much for all that. Thanks for reading that story. That was really cool. And for all the ins and outs of what you're doing with your book. A lot of people want to write a book, and to a lot of people, it's a daunting task. But I think everybody should try it at one point. And just, I think it's something that anybody can do. Regardless of your talent, even if it's just something for yourself, something you don't want to share with everyone else, like Chuck says, but you...
Well, you know what? If you're going to write, if you really feel like writing, don't quit your day job, but you can still write.
Of course you can. I mean, I work a day job, I come home every night and write, and if you like it, do it. If not, then do what you like anyway.
Exactly. I'm not planning on my writing cheating me, and because of that, it's much easier to do, I think.
Yeah.
So,
something you do for enjoyment, and you'll get a lot out of it that way. So I have a caller here who's been on hold for a long time, and I think it's Miss Heather. So I'm gonna pull her on. Please stay on if you're not too busy, and maybe we'll shoot some shit after she's gonna read some poems and stuff, I think.
All right, I can't wait to hear him.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Chuck. Hey, Heather, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Oh, there you are. Sorry, I thought I had to call her for a while there, but Chuck just wouldn't shut the fuck up. He kept, you know, battling on and on.
That's okay. I enjoyed listening. It was good.
Yeah, I know.
No, it was fine.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Is Aaron laughing?
Sorry.
Yeah, she probably...
No, I recognize your laugh.
And smashed
you
her head on the
floor. You're making me laugh. I can't help it.
Yeah.
No, I recognize.
Usually, Heather, you met Aaron that one night. You guys were hanging out in Times Square, right?
Yes. We met Aaron in Times Square. It was the first time we were ever in New York, and it was pretty amazing.
What was your impression of walking out of the subway into Times Square for the first time? Like, too much going on, or just what was your thought? What was your like impression?
No, it was really weird because as we got closer, it seemed like it was becoming day. It was, and then when we were there, it was like it was day. It was just so strange that it was night, but it was day. I don't know. The juxtaposition of that just blew my mind. I was blown away by the amount of people. I was blown away by the amount of Elmos, and the amount of homeless people, too. My children were struck by that, and I thought that that was just an amazing thing for them to at least be able to see and know, you know, how some people struggle, you know, because we live in a very suburban area, and it's very sheltered, and, you know, it's not something I see all the time.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
you're in upstate New York, right?
Amazing. Yeah, we're in Shenango Bridge, which is a little off area from Binghamton, which is tiny as it is. So it's just a tiny little community. She knows everybody in her, my daughter knows everybody in her class. She'll probably know every person that she'll graduate with. It's just so very small.
Well, that's cool. I'm sorry that I guess I was out of town the weekend. You and Keith came in, but hopefully I'm gonna come up there to Binghamton when the weather warms up.
You should.
Camp out.
It's amazing.
You know? Yeah, totally. I'll drag
it's
Chuck and Aaron up
one
there
of the,
too.
Oh, sorry. It's actually one of the is it the greenest city? And not like we're all environmentalists, but I mean the actual number of trees per square inch of Binghamton or something. And it is, it's beautiful. There's so many trees everywhere.
I wanted to, speaking of like a city that has a lot of trees, you're not going to believe this, but, I used to, I'm in a union. I weld, for the Boilermakers, and we had our union hall was in Bayonne, New Jersey. Which, if you know anything about Bayonne, it's like kind of like an industrial, kind of like it's all concrete and brick buildings. There's like very few like trees at all. There's just mostly just apartment buildings, concrete and you know strip stores and stuff like that. Not to discourage Bayonne. There's nothing wrong with Bayonne. But when you leave Bayonne, there's a sign that says you are now leaving Tree City, USA. as you get on the New Jersey Turnpike. So that's just like a visual picture of your competition. Okay, so Binghamton is number one, and maybe Bayonne is number two. So Heather, I'm glad you came on because I really would like it if you would read some poems today. Are you up for that at all? Or?
Yeah, I didn't know what to do, so I picked out 6 poems and an emergency poem, just in case. In case I decided I didn't want to do one of these. So do you want
me
to just...
tell us what the title is, and just go for it. Read us the poem.
Okay. This one I wrote when I came to Binghamton about 4 years ago. It's called Ditching Class. The academics won't take me because I'm too angry when I argue, and the poets won't have me. Because I don't know a chrysanthemum from a carnation. I want to rebel like an angsty teen, but I don't have the money to do drugs or the energy to shoplift. So I drive to Wolf Park, where all of my characters' bodies are dumped after they are murdered by other characters. 2 women drive up in a station wagon. They are secret lovers. The body they are dumping must be in the back, covered with that flowered comforter. But they'll never take it out while I'm around. They'll pretend to hike, but really they're picking a place. Then they'll flee to Canada until the beautiful one murders the blonde one over a man and takes off for Mexico. A scattering of skitty tree trunks hide where the women have stopped to conspire. The stream rushing over rocks, shushing explanations, water so clear, it looks shallow. One day, when I'm dumped here in this pool of water that ripples with strings of light, I'll float bloated and broken, my hair limp like brown leaves, my body bent like twigs by the force of the stream.
That was excellent. Thanks so much for reading.
Do you want me to just go to the next one, or?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I can do that.
Yeah, keep reading. Tell me, I like how you said, set them up, though. Give me a little bit about the poem before you read it.
Okay, that's a new thing for me, by the way. Normally when I do a reading, I say, hi, these are poems, and I just start, because I never know.
Oh, okay, yeah, you don't have to set them up. You know, I'm just saying, if something pops in your head, tell me a little bit about it, because I'm curious. I always love when somebody explains what a poem is about.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's easier now because I'm not staring at,
Yeah.
I wanted to say 100 people, but that would flatter myself, 20 people, whatever.
Like throwing rose petals at you the whole time and stuff, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. Okay, this one is actually very old, and it dates itself. So, it's called I Always Drive Over Potholes. I always drive over potholes, leave the mayonnaise out overnight, blue lid flung carelessly on a table of toast crumbs. I drip mustard on the white shirt you washed just last night and hung up in your corner of the closet. I drop cookies in the bottom of the oven, let my cheese bubble over the blue bowl onto the base of the microwave. I leave the water running as I walk out of the room talking on the phone about the evils of technology. I turn your socks pink. I get loud when I'm drunk. I get drunk when I'm bored, and I'm bored a bit too often recently. I sing along to every song that plays on the radio, and when you join in, I correct you on the lyrics. I take your boxers and wear them as pajamas. I rumble incessantly about women's rights and equality while insisting I do not know how to work the VCR. I put your Sinatra CD in my Alanis case, and when I'm done with Alanis, I leave Sinatra teetering on top the TV. I spill my soda, tip my pizza, and break the bottle of Hennessy on the back porch. But you do not yell or lecture. Only sweep shards of glass across wet pavement and say, don't cry over spilt brandy.
Great.
Thank you. The next one is called Smoking in the Shower.
Okay.
Smoking in the shower with the window open and the fan on, I puffed my pipe. I let the water bleed over me. I thought about the tsunami, exam work, and whether or not I should drink tonight. As I fingered the conditioner out of my hair, I decided I should. I poured myself a vodka and orange juice since we were out of scotch. It's so expensive. And drank the first one fast, like the hare having learned his lesson about dallying around and waiting too long. I had since decided that one should get drunk as soon as possible if that was the goal. My tattoo is of a vampire fairy Vulcan reading a fairy tale. I tried to take a picture of it by stretching my arms around my back. I only get the wings and stop trying. Richard Hugo believes that an artist must hate herself in order to truly create. I wonder how I can loathe myself and still create nothing of substance. Perhaps I like myself a little too much. Perhaps it is the tattoo. I never should have got it.
Hey, that was really good. Hey, listen, what was that Victor Hugo quote again? That was, an artist must hate her, must loathe themselves to create something of substance?
Yeah. You have to hate yourself in order to truly create. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in Triggering Town, Richard Hugo. I think it was like 1976.
I'll tell you what, will you read one more? And then I wanted to ask you some questions. Now I got you here. I want to. All right, will you read me one more?
Yes. Now I have to decide. I'm just going to read a found poem, okay? Because
okay.
It's something that I like doing, actually. And one of them, the first one I got interested with was the Twin Towers tour. And it was like a booking tour thing that I turned into a found poem. But since then, I got interested in taking Craigslist ads and turning them into found poems. So,
okay, cool.
This is one of those called 8 Month
cool.
Old Pup. Text 607205426 8 Month Old Pup. Pup needs a new home because he constantly chews everything, and I cannot seem to break him out of it. I cannot afford to keep replacing everything he chews, and I cannot seem to break him. I am asking an adoption fee. He survived the parvovirus. He is scared of loud noises and toys that make sounds and metal dishes, and I cannot seem to break him. He is housebroken and crate-trained, pulls on the leash out of it. I cannot afford nose, sit down, no, and lay down. Had him since he was born. He is tricolored, and I cannot seem to break him out of it.
Oh, my God. I'm fucking dying over here, man. That's fucking awesome. That was something you kind of found as a Craigslist thing, and you rewrote it as a poem in your own way, kind of?
Basically what it is I tried to stay really true to the original text in that I would use, let's see, like I would use, I cannot seem to break him, for example. I would use that numerous times. So I would use repetition that wasn't necessarily there.
You build something out of it. That's awesome.
But I didn't add any words. And in addition, I kind of left it in the same form. But I mean, it was found poetry. There's so many different ways you can do it.
Totally. That's like I love. There's a few people I've seen that I regularly read. You know. Who do that with spam? You know, they'll take their spam box and turn it into these great things, or they'll, you know, write something that's basically supposed to be, it's like a spam knockoff. You know, I know Misty Rainwater Lights does that occasionally, and it's like the funniest, fucking coolest shit. It's like this thing about these girls from college who want to fuck you, and it's just like totally just all. You know, purposefully written, like somebody from some strange email bot, you know, sent it to you. It's all gunk. It's all screwed up. The wording is all backwards and wrong. It's great. I wanted to ask you a question. I think this is going to end in about a minute. We're running out of time. But what's going on with your poetry workshop thing?
Oh, at the Boys and Girls Club?
I thought you ran, like, a poetry program up for kids or something, right?
Actually, what it is that through Binghamton University, there's something called the Binghamton Poetry Project, which is basically an outreach into the community from the university. So university instructors, creative writing instructors, go into the community, into like libraries, into the YWCA, and into the Boys and Girls Club of Broome County, and basically run free poetry workshops.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I got to stop you there because the stream's about to run out. I really want to thank everybody who came on the show. I want to thank Erin McParland for talking to me. I want to thank Chuck Howe for coming on and everything he said and for reading that story. And I especially want to thank you, Heather. Thank you for coming on and giving us some sample of your work. I hope people
We'll search you out. I know you have a website now, a WordPress site. And that's
going to
be it for the show. Hopefully next Tuesday we'll do another one. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Erin.
You guys still there?